Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and thank you for calling in tonight, and welcome to Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. This is Kwajalein. My husband's not here right now, but hopefully he will be soon. So I am just excited for everyone to be listening in on tonight. I believe that we do have a great show that will be coming up tonight and that it will be impactful and encouraging and informative. So I thank God for our topic on tonight. Before we get into anything, I would like to just say we are thinking of those that have been affected by Hurricane Ian, that we are praying for you all, and that we just believe that God will continue to provide what you need and keep his hands around you. And we're just praying for you all. So we're going to go ahead and jump into things. So tonight we are talking about how to support your adult children. Raising children can be one of the most rewarding yet challenging jobs. However, when children become adults, the challenges change. How can parents effectively support their adult children? What happens when the adult children become engaged in activities and make decisions parents do not agree with? How do we as parents learn to let go when our children enter into adulthood? Thank you for joining us on tonight as we discuss these questions and more with our special guest, mother, author, and CEO of Smiles, Single Moms Incorporation Love, Encouragement, and Support, Shannon Jones, and mother, life coach, and minister, Kyra Greer. We guarantee you will not be disappointed on tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines, and then we're going to read their bios. So you all will know a little bit more about them. So Shannon Jones was born in Jacksonville, Florida, became an Atlanta native at 11 years old after her parents divorced. Early in life, Shannon knew she wanted to make a difference with people, especially young women. She became a child advocate with CASA, a mentor with Big Brother, Big Sister, and volunteered with other organizations. During Shannon's studies at Georgia State University, she became pregnant with her son, and she is now a single mom of four amazing children, and they are amazing. Parenting alone has its challenges. She learned with God, determination, and focus, one can achieve the creative vision. Her determination, paired with her passion for women, birthed her organization, Smiles, Single Moms Incorporation Love, Encouragement, and Support, which is also her ministry. Shannon uses her life experiences to encourage, empower, and help women heal, especially single moms. She shares her journey and testimonies in her first book of poetry, Come Into the World of Miss Jones. She lives by Psalms 46:5. God is within her. She will not fail. Hello, Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Thank you for being with us tonight. We appreciate you taking your time to come on and bless us with your wisdom.
Hopefully I will.
I am confident that you will. And now we will introduce Minister Kyra R. Ford Greer. She was born and raised in Concord, North Carolina. Her parents were young, but exposed her and her siblings to the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit, evangelism, and community service at a young age. At the age of 21, she heard the call of God to preach, and after getting married to her husband at age 23 in December 2002, she heeded the call into the ministry of preaching and teaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She was then licensed to preach the gospel in January 2003 and ordained in August 2005. Minister Greer is a 2013 graduate of Life Breakthrough Academy for Christian Life Coaching and is a life member of the Biblical Coaching Alliance. She has been married to her husband, Cedric Greer, for over 20 years. She's also a graduate of the School of Prophets program held at New Beginnings Revival Center in Waynesville. Y'all just read that all out of order. I'm sorry. Minister Greer's passion for people has guaranteed her many opportunities to mentor at-risk teen girls, uplift single mothers, married women, and teach school-age youth. She has served in evangelism outreach, the local women's shelters, and assisted living, and has hosted life groups. Currently, Minister Greer is working to obtain her BA of Theology in Christian Ministry Studies with a concentration in pastoral care from Regent University. She, along with her husband, Cedric, their four children, which are amazing as well, Kyrez, Alasia, Cedric Jr., and Ayani, her mother, Minister Carol Slade, and two dogs, Chip and Hazel, all reside in Virginia. Hello, Kyra.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
We are doing good, doing good. Thank you for joining us on tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
And coming to bless us with your wisdom and experience as Shannon. So we do appreciate that.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate it. We really do. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this. So we are talking about supporting adult children. Now, I cannot give anything. I am here to learn and to listen because we have only gotten as far as 16, and I think I may have a C- in that. So I am here to learn. You guys educate me.
Oh, God.
So you guys know my favorite question. What does that look like? That's one of my favorite questions. What does that look like? How do we support our adult children? What does that look like when they're transitioning from being our children that we are rearing or raising to into this stage of adulthood when we are becoming more of an influencer opposed to raising them? So what does that look like? What does that include?
If I could start off, if that's okay. Seemed like you kind of put it in the words when you said, you know, going from, you know, one thing but going to an influencer, because really, you know, you're doing that the entire life of the child from, you know, birth. You're trying to influence them to do right, to love, to treat others well, to take care of themselves. And then when they become adults, you pray that they continue on doing these things. It is a very different realm. I would take sleepless nights and night feedings and changing diapers probably any day. Sometimes it feels that way. It's like, you know what? It was better when they were little because they were honestly a little bit more under our thumb. We knew what they were doing and things like that and could influence them a little bit more. It's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of prayer when they get older. It is mature, the relationship. You know, it looks mature because you have to kind of step back and say, okay, that's what you're doing now. Oh, okay. Respecting them, my friends, you know, respecting their decisions, just like I respect my decisions of my friends, you know. Yeah. And that's not easy because this is your child. That's not easy when you can kind of see the direction they're going in. That's not easy. But I've learned to step back and respect them. So it is the level of respect is on another level when they're adults.
Okay. Shannon, do you have anything to say on that?
So what does it look like? It is very colorful because you have different layers, different dimensions, just different everything, you know, once they become young adults. Now, for me, I enjoyed the baby stage, but the toddler stage, no. I kind of do good with the young adult, the teenage, even though they become very opinionated, it's different. But what I will say, to be that influencer, they have to be heard. Because especially now, I'm learning with my children, not, you know, because I said so. And that's just the end of it. No. It's allowing them to be heard, depending on the situation, though. Like I explained to my teenagers as well as my young adults, the timing has to be right when you need to be heard. Like if we're in the middle of, you know, a discussion where we're not really agreeing with each other, then that's not the right time. But I do allow them to be heard. Because it's good to see it from their perspective. Just like what Kyle was saying, you know, basically just like talking to your friends, having a conversation with your friends. And, again, that's giving them a voice to be heard. So I definitely have had some challenges adjusting. But I will say with my children, so I am a mother of four, as Claudine said, and the ages are almost 25, 21, 12, 16. Okay, 16, 12. I went out of order. But so with that, you know, I'm being pulled in different directions. However, what I had to learn is being flexible, being able to bend so that I am the mom that they need me to be. And it's different for each one of my children. So that's my comment.
Okay, so it's interesting that you all said, you know, to listen to them and be there like a friend, because that's actually one of my questions. So I'll just go ahead and go into that. Can I be your parent and your friend at this stage?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. I'm thinking about my two adult children.
We're talking about
adulthood.
That's what we're talking about.
You know, like Shannon and I found this out when we met in Atlanta, that our kids are the ages of our children are, you know, like really similar. Like we have a almost 25-year-old. We have a 20-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So our kids are very, like, we are, our kids are very similar in age. And my 25-year-old, our 25-year-old son, he, you know what? Sometimes it seems like they want you to be their friend. You know, and you know, as far as like on this level, like respect me on this level. But then when they do something that's so you know, childish, you know what I'm saying, when they do something so whatever or immature, or it's like you knew better than everybody, you know, then it's like kind of having to go, you know, like I have to be this to you now because this is how you responded to the situation, or you're bringing it to me, you know, in a, it is something. My daughter and I, she's 20, we have become more of friends, but she is very open to correction, to advice. She is more, she is vocal. Okay. She speaks up for herself. She takes more control of her finances more responsibly than our oldest. She really, and has always been like this, but within the past year, she has absorbed, really, really absorbed what we had what we have put out as parents to her. And then we can see her putting some things into action. So when she does come and say, well, I think, you know, this and that. And I'm like, okay, cool. I can see that. You know, I'm kind of like that, like that with it. That kind of helps when it comes to the respecting the friend thing. But, you know, like, you know, our oldest son, he may be, you know, doing some things, and we're kind of like, why did you do that? And what happened? You know, I feel like, okay, are we still 16 years old? Like, what are we doing? As mature as he can be, there are some things that some of it may be because he is the oldest child, where it seems like he kind of regressed in some things. But I think it kind of depends. You know, we have a rule. Okay, at 16, you can date. However, if we feel like you are not mature enough, if you're not ready, if, you know, if you're in a certain place, then that can change. So it really does depend on that individual child and where they are as far as like, okay, you know, we can kind of chat, you know, friend-wise. I'm not coming to you like mama, mama, mama all the time. It's like that even in our house when it comes to dating. Okay, you're 16, you can date. And our daughter, she was like, hey, I want to date. She waited a year. And her first real boyfriend was at 17. She dated him, didn't like how that went. She didn't date again until she was like, I don't know, almost 19 years old. Because she was like, yeah, I don't want to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not ready for this. You know what I'm saying? So I think that kind of has something to do with it. And knowing your child enough as an individual, knowing the personality, their tendencies, their weaknesses, you know, knowing what's going on with them so well that when they do become adults, you may have to kind of hone in on some things, maybe maybe another year or two, you know, as if they were not adults. I don't want to control them. I don't want to control them, Terry, like that. But that's kind of hard. So sometimes you might have to do a little something a little bit longer, you know, talk a little bit more about money, you know, when the other child, you may not have to do that, but you may have to talk to them about friends. You know what I'm saying? You're an adult. You have adult friends. But, look, you know, you don't have to keep running after her because she's your friend. You know what I'm saying? Things that you probably talked about in middle and high school. I just think it kind of goes them being, we have to look at them individually and see if they're ready for that. And it evolves. I think it evolves. I think, before, you know, you may look up one day and say, hey, you know, we're having a real conversation. We're chilling. And like Shannon was saying about listening to them, really listening. Yes, we may already know the answer to the issue and the solution, okay? But hearing them out really helped me to grow. Really hearing them out, their opinion, you know, and their, you know, their expectation of the situation. That helps. That's how friends are. You know, you kind of hear each other out and kind of, you know, give and take. And that's not easy going from, you know, raising a toddler to now you have this adult, you know, in your face. So I'll stop there.
Good. Do you have anything, Chan?
That was really good. Kyra, I like to, I'll say being their friend, sometimes really is easier at this stage with them than being a mother. Because, you know, as long as, you know, everything cool, you know, we're chopping it up, everything good, you know, if we're communicating, they telling me whatever, you know, that's great. When correction comes or redirecting them, then they ain't trying to hear. but say that, you know, I would love to have this with the children on the phone. So it will, I just would love to see what they got to say. But
okay.
I believe that I'm both. You know, I have active communication with my young adults. They call me. They don't live with me. My oldest is my son, and he's actually moving into a new place this weekend. I'm so glad it's not my place. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, I was concerned about that thing. I'm like, you know, he wasn't getting approved, but, you know, God is good. So, and favor is for real, honey. Woo. But anyway, so he finally got approved. So I'm so grateful for that. But so he's out the house, and my oldest daughter, she's in college. This is her last year in college. She's at Mercy University. So, but we talk, we communicate at least 3, 4, 5 times a week. They call me at least every 2 days. We don't go no more than 3 days without communicating. One, because I got to know where you at. I still monitor them. We all have Life 360. If you don't know about Life 360, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As long as I pay your cell phone bill, you must have it on active at all times. Yeah. Now, sometimes they feel like, you know, that's invading their privacy or whatever. But no, one is, I'm still, you know, want to see where you at just in case something happens for emergency reasons. That's more so why I do have it for them. Because, you know, with my daughter, she's away from home at school. And even with my son, even though he's a young adult, it doesn't matter. Things still happen. But I do pay her cell phone bill, so that's my rule. Because at one point, I don't know, it was inactive. It was something was going on with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't see stuff. And she told me, you know, well, I'm updating it, but it's, you know, I don't know what's wrong with it. Okay. Remember, I pay that bill. So it miraculously started that working. But, again, the way we communicate, you know, they're very, very open about who they dating, who they want to date, who they like, who they think cute, how they need to approach this person, you know. So I appreciate that. I don't want to be so firm to where, you know, they feel uncomfortable talking to me, communicating with me, or, you know, well, mama ain't going to like this. She don't want me doing it, so I can't talk to her about that. No, cool. Like some of the things, you know, like with my son and his lifestyle and his the way he dressed right now, he's, you know, entertaining guys. And that was a very difficult challenge for me. And he's an artist, so with that, his style is to another level. I say he don't never have on no clothes. That's just me. But he would come to my house, I always would say something about his appearance. And so then I was like, you know what, just Lord help me become blind to that, because I just didn't want to create friction or a wedge in our relationship, because I need to know what's going on with you. I want to know what's going on with you. So I just, you know, I still don't like it with these little baby tops and shorts or whatever he put on, but... At the end of the day, that's him. This is his journey, and I'm trusting that God is going to make adjustments and change some things with this journey. So as long as I focus on that, I don't have to focus on minor things like that. But, yes, it is definitely possible to be a friend to your young adult children, but you got to be that good friend. They got to want to come talk to you. If you're popping off that house, saying stuff all the time, you know, as I say, coming out the side of your neck, they ain't going to want to hear that. So sometimes you have to, you know, tone it down. Even though you may want to say some stuff, because I say some stuff now that they may not like at times, but we have to be able to discern and know when is the right time to make certain comments, because sometimes it's just not even needed. Just be quiet, handle your business mm-hmm. with your friend, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have on that.
Yes.
And, you know, it is interesting how you all are talking about, you know, listening to them and their opinions, because that's something that I even try to do now. So I'm just wondering how that would change as they become young adults, because I'm very big on, you know, letting my kids know that you have a voice. What you say is important. Now, there is, like, and like you said, Shannon, there's a certain time, you know, there's a time for you to say say something. But I'm very big on letting them know that, you know, just because you are the child or a child doesn't mean that what you think and what you, you know, feel is of any less value. So I will take the time to listen. At the right time, mm-hmm. I will take the time to listen and let you express how you feel. But, I mean, we will make the final decision, but
right.
you know, still
yeah.
listen to how you feel and,
yeah.
you know, and try to encourage them to be open and come and talk to us about things. And Mariah came to us the other day about something that happened at school, you know, that kind of threw both of us off. But, you know, just come to us and talk to us about, you know, different things that's going on in your day, different things that's going on in your life, and still try to go back to them and say, okay, how are you feeling about this? So I'm interested to see. Now, I'm not in a hurry, but I'm just interested to, you know, how that may change. Again, Jeremiah 16, sometimes he'll talk to us about something, sometimes he won't. So mm-hmm. just interested to see how that'll change as he gets older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good evening, ladies.
Hey there.
Good evening to everyone on the air tonight. First, I just had this question that I want to ask, because I think it's appropriate for this conversation and this topic. So when you have your young adults that have issues pertaining to life, just like, you know, us older adults have, how do you determine, with having younger kids, and let's say, for instance, a topic comes up and your younger kids around, how do you determine what's age appropriate for your kids to be around, and when do you determine, all right, we need to isolate so you and I can talk about this?
Ooh. Wow. That has happened here in my house because, you know, like Shannon was talking about, you know, like even with, you know, what's going on with her son, our son, as well, our oldest son, who's artist, loves music and fashion and all that stuff and all that or whatever, but his lifestyle was not, you know, what we had, you know, raised him to know and to believe as far as, you know, the things of God. And so, and with him choosing to go this route in his relationships and everything, it was really, it was, as far as like talking about it, Sid and I did a lot of talking to him privately, okay? Although we knew the youngest child, our 13-year-old, you know, knew what was going on, we still would not allow her to be a part of, you know, what was going on with that situation. Some things are too deep, you know, if our son is involved with, you know, another man and, you know, who knows, you know, something goes down and things like that, we would say, okay, come to our room and talk to us about this, Kyrez. You know what I'm saying? Or we would just talk about it when he wasn't around. Kyrez wouldn't even, you know, usually wouldn't even bring it up, you know, even if she was around or whatever. But it was definitely, it depended on what that thing was. You know, they are, you know, our 13-year-old still very impressionable. You know what I'm saying? And she respects her oldest brother. And so, and it's not just about her keeping respect for him. It's so that, okay, he's going through this. We're believing God. We're believing that this will change. We believe in God, that God will, you know, heal him for whatever it is he's dealing with and everything. So we don't want to expose her to not this anything this deep. You know what I'm saying? Not this thing. But you know, it some things were, I'm be honest, we did a lot of, you know, cutting off. And it wasn't just like, oh, we don't want her to know anything, or, oh, that's our baby. Because she is impressionable, and because she respects her brother, we know that, okay, if she knows this on, or that he's going through this thing right here, it will influence her, you know, and maybe not in such a good way, because she wants to impress him. You see what I'm saying? She wants to make sure, you know what I'm saying, that he knows that she's cool, she's dressing nice, and, you know, all this stuff. He has his influence on all of his siblings is really big, you know. So that was just a case by case, because some things it was like, okay, that's what's going on. But with other things, it was like, we're not going to expose her to this. The world is already doing enough. We're not going to expose her to this right now, you know, not now. And maybe we can talk to her about it later, if it calls for that, you know. But that's not easy either.
Some things are never easy.
and I asked that question simply because, you know, we have a 16-year-old, and for some strange apparent reason, this young man thinks he's older than 16 sometimes, and you know, my wife and I have to reel back in and be like, hey, guy, hey, we'll talk about that another time, you know. We have to reel him in. Yeah, so sometimes, you know, you feel like you're out there on that journey by yourself when it comes to teenagehood and parenthood and certain things. And so that's definitely a good question, I think, that would make others appreciate the fact that they're not going through this alone, and then the other parents have this same, you know, thing that they have to go through. So thank you, Kyra. That was definitely a great way to look at it, and a great perspective.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Did you have anything on that, Shannon?
Yes, I'll say, as Kyra said, I too agree that it's a case-by-case situation. And it also depends on what the topic is or what's going on. And also the age gap.
Yeah.
Because depending on the age, you know, the gap. Like if you're dealing with a 20-year-old or 17-year-old, 16 or whatever, and then you have, you know, 5, 6, 7. No. But if you're dealing with maybe 16 and 13, depending on what the topic is, then maybe something that needs to be addressed with both.
Yes.
Even though, you know, they're one may be older, younger or whatever, but it still may be something that the younger child still needs to be included in. And it, you know, of course, what the behavior that needs to be corrected or whatever the topic of discussion is. Because even though, even with the age gap, sometimes it's just that it doesn't pertain to the other siblings. I know with my group, you know, we've dealt with a lot of different challenges. And in my house, what I would do, we would have family meetings, and I encourage everybody, especially if you have more than one child,
yes,
have family meetings. First of all, y'all living in the same house. I don't care what the age is, because everybody needs to, you know, you living with people, whether they little miniature adults or grown adults, it doesn't matter. So when we used to have family meetings, when we all were living in the same house, everybody had their pen, everybody had a pad, you wrote down your issue, and you had the floor. So in that setting, of course, that's a group conversation. Now, when, you know, one of my children was, you know, I found out, you know, inappropriate behavior was going on with a person that they was dating, yeah, I'm going to pull you in the room because we need to have this one-on-one conversation. Now, it may end up being something, a topic that I need to discuss with the siblings. However, if it's something that I need to specifically address with that child, this needs to be a one-on-one conversation. They don't even need to know what's going on with it. Because you're right, you know, the other children, the younger ones that's looking up to the older, yeah, they are very impressionable. And they may be, oh, well, they're doing this, so I want to try this too. No, you ain't ready for this. So it just does depends on what is going on, what the topic is. And even though it may be something that needs to be addressed one-on-one, you can still, depending on what it is, in the age, if it's something where that the next one in line may need, yeah, you don't need to do this. This ain't cool. You know, if you feel like you need to do whatever, come talk. Because, again, you know, our children, they speeding now. They moving quick, the way I see it, you know, compared to, like, when we were growing up. Well, you know what? Maybe not, because, you know, thinking about it, not necessarily. It's different. I think it's just more so different now because of the different things that they're exposed to and all this stuff that's accepted and, you know, it's just a whole different generation now. But, again, I just think it depends on what the conversation is, what the topic is, and it could be something that you do need to discuss with the other siblings. It just may not be the same way that you will address it one-on-one.
Wow. Ladies, that definitely was some great answers. And I definitely appreciate it because, you know, it's definitely more to come with our young man that's growing into a young adult. And, of course, we have the other three. But what I want to say is that I think the way things are today, we experienced a lot of the same things growing up as young adults. However, the one thing that we do have that we didn't have that the young adults today have is just they have – so many different platforms in order to experience an adventure out, and you know, and they get to show their interests, their likes, their dislikes, their, you know, the whole nine. So, thank you, ladies, for those answers tonight. That definitely was great for me. Thank you,
Kenny. If I could say something about that, because you're right, we, you know. You know, most of us, well, you know, I can just speak for maybe the four of us. We were, you know, raised, you know, maybe born in the 70s, early 80s, and then, you know, it was very different then. These kids have access to the www, okay? And that is a huge influence. That, I mean, they can express who they are and what they are, or they can look it up and you know, get wrapped up in something they shouldn't be getting wrapped up in, you know, things like that. We didn't have access to that. So getting older, we were learning things as we were getting older. But now these kids know so much more than what they should, honestly, at a young age. And that has affected, you know, my two youngest ones, my two oldest ones, you know, they had phones maybe in you know, high school, maybe eighth and ninth grade, they were able to have phones. But even then, you know what I'm saying, like I was seeing how it was affecting them, their self-esteem, and then them growing up into adults, you know, and it's still affecting them as adults, you know, as young adults. They're comparing themselves to this fake lifestyle that's online with their friends, with celebrities. You know, it looks real. You know, it looks great. But, you know, we post what we want to post, and they take it in as real life, you know what I'm saying? But that is a huge thing because we didn't have that. We were sheltered, and I didn't realize how sheltered we were until my kids had access to the Internet. And then I was like, oh, my God, like, what? You know, let's block them. We've done the Life 360, Shannon. Actually, I plan on getting that, downloading that again. We have Verizon Family. I think that's $10 a month through Verizon, where their websites, their phones will not allow them to get on that website. And I get a report every time they're on their phone during school hours or after 9 o'clock, you know, on weekdays or 8 o'clock or whatever it is. We get the alert and everything, including their location. That that is big, and like Shannon said, we pay the phone bill. You know, our oldest one, he out on his own. We pay that cell phone bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like that's mine. But you know, it's really different because these kids are comparing themselves, and they grow up into these adults still doing that. So sometimes you find yourself having discussions with them as adults that you already had with them when they were in middle and high school about being themselves, being true to themselves, you know, standing up for what they believe in, knowing right from wrong, despite what their friends are doing, you know, despite what they see online, reminding them, like, look, remember, you know, this is what, you know, you were raised to believe, and this is why, you know, right. It doesn't mean we don't listen to them, you know, because they'll see something online and be like, Mom, did you know this? And I'm like, the devil is a lie. You know, that ain't right. You know, it's big. It's really big, Kenny. And I mean, y'all, it's on another level right now because they're still kids. You know, our kids. You know what I'm saying? But they have access. And this world can access our children in any way. I mean, you know, they can play a simple game and an ad will come up where it's a cartoon girl half naked. I was playing one game and I was like, why is this girl half naked? Why is this telling me to punch on her belly buttons? What is this going on? You know, and I'm asking my kids, do y'all play this game? You know, but that's where what we have taught them comes into play, you know, wanting them to be open enough to come and talk to us about things that make them uncomfortable. You know, we had one child that said, hey, I want to come and tell you that I've been watching something that's inappropriate. You know, we had a child that came and told us that this wasn't appropriate, and I want to tell you and Dad about it. You know, that was big because, I mean, that's 1 out of 4 children who have done that, so I'll take it as a win. because
right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's keep it real. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's, right. It's like, okay, like, wow, this child, you know, it was giving me hope. It was giving me life because that child was going to be honest and because of, you know, raising them in a Christian home. You know, talking to them about God, it goes further than what we will ever be able to really realize because that was the Holy Spirit convicting that child. And that child came to us. And that child didn't have to come to us. But having a faith-based, you know, lifestyle, you know, it helps. It comes back around. You know, I'll just say that it may not look like it. They out there and doing their thing. And like, you know better than that. And why, you know, why would you do that? And what's going on? You know, but it comes back around. I can say that when I have a child that say, I want to thank my mom or Dad, thank you, you know, for now I see what you were saying. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I look forward to that.
To get up yeah, yeah. It comes. It'll come.
And I'm going to say this real quick, and then one of our listeners has a question because she has to get off in a minute. But I was going to talk about, you know, and then I have a question, and I'm going to go back to that after I ask the question from my listener. But I just wanted to say about the World Wide Web, and Kyrie had said, you know, how they could express who they are. And also I think part of that, too, is, with so much access to the internet, sometimes the things that are out there will make them think that they're something that they're not. You know, because when you take this stuff in, and then you start thinking, oh, well, I'm like this, or I like this, or, you know, like they have this thing now called normalize the myth. Like that's just, I just don't understand that. And, you know, where it's just this thing where you not just, you know, I'm not saying not just like a, you know, where you just have stuff. I mean, like just a filthy house. It just feels, mm-hmm. you know, and so this is a movement that they have going on now. I think it's on TikTok, and mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people, a lot of these younger people are saying, well, you know, because we're depressed and we have anxiety, and I'm not saying anything against that, because I think most people walking this earth is going to deal with some type of depression or anxiety mm-hmm. at some point yeah. in your life. Yeah. You know, but it's like, okay. But this thing of just, but they're trying to normalize, you know, just, I mean, dishes not being done for 3-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, just look it up on TikTok. It's just a thing. And so then you have so many people that are coming in and like, oh, yeah, this is me, this is me, this is me, and this is me. And so when you find someone that, you know, has maybe some similarities or whatever, or that may agree with some things that you do, then you sometimes convince yourself that you're that, or you give yourself a reason not to do better.
Yeah.
And yeah. so I think that's yep. that's a part of it. That's mm-hmm. also a part of that. But I'm going to go ahead.
So true.
I'm going to go ahead and ask this question. How do we ask and continue asking the difficult questions for teenagers, and I'm also going to add young adults because we're talking about adults. So how do we ask and continue asking those difficult questions when it comes to, you know, those the teenagers and the young adults, mm-hmm. the questions that we may not want to ask, that we may be scared to find the answers to and find out the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can start with that. So with me having 4 children, I make a point to spend time with each one of my children,
mm-hmm.
just mm-hmm. us two. And because when you know, people don't like to tell y'all. They don't. They act like they do, but they don't. And I know mm-hmm. with my children, especially being a single parent, I don't know, it may not have anything to do with it, but I do believe that with me being a single parent with them, because I see the relationship with their dad is completely different than with me, but each one of them pull on me, like, mm-hmm. Mom, I need this, Mom, I got this going on, Mom, you know, because with my son, mm-hmm. he does fashion. So something, I may have to do a contract or talk to him about what makes sense with something that he's negotiating with somebody. You know, and then my baby girl, she's in the 7th grade. So we ain't talking about contracts, but we're talking about other things. And I've had to have some difficult conversations with them. You know, like, who you liking? Especially now, everybody's everything is just everything. People, they like
right.
both, boy, girl, boy, but it don't matter.
Right.
So.
Right.
And, of course, I ain't with it, but, you know, what I had to learn, too, is to calm down. I used to be, like, extremely loud. I still get loud, y'all. I call it excited. That's my word. I get excited.
I love it.
But I used to get excited a lot, like, every day, all day, just screaming, fussing about something, because I was stressed out. That's really what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how to, one, calm myself down, just calm down. And then just bring it down a notch, because my children hated me yelling. They hated it. You know, my son, he still says to this day, even though he's almost 25, when I yell, it goes through his body. He said he can feel my screaming through his body or whatever. Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do to have those difficult conversations, I make it light. Like, okay, let's mm-hmm. go. We're going to go get something to eat, or we're going to, you know, Sweetheart or Bubba Tea, something, whatever place they like to go to. Even with my older ones, I make sure we have that one-on-one time. And in the car, oh, yeah, we're going to have some conversation. We're going to listen to music. We're going to sing. I'm going to listen to whatever they listen to, whether I like it or not. Most of the time I kind of, you know, I like it. But in that, we're going to have a conversation. So what's going on with you? And if it's something where, because I had this recently, it was a conversation I had to have with my baby girl, and she wasn't ready to have the conversation. I said, okay. And I said, everybody, this, write a letter. Write letters. They work. I said, okay, you can write me a letter. If it's something that you feel like you can't discuss right now in this moment, write a letter to speak your truth. And then, and that's with anything I suggest, with your husband, your wife, whoever, your children, write letters sometimes because it allows you an opportunity, one, to just release everything you have to release, and then it gives the other person an opportunity to receive it. And hopefully at that point, the emotions have, you know, sizzled down, not probably gone completely, but then you can then revisit that conversation to have, revisit that topic so that you can have a conversation. So, one, spend that one-on-one time. Be intentional about it because, yes, we busy. And if you're not with single moms, if I have some on that, yes, it's a lot. But you have to be intentional about that time with that child because they all want your undivided attention, each one of them, you know. So that's just something that we have to do and make it light. It could just be walking in the neighborhood. The other day, my baby, we walked to the mailbox. Let's go. We're going to walk. What happened at school? You know, just stuff like that, walking down the street, going to the park, whatever. Just keep it simple. It's not that complicated. Keep it real simple. And then in that, bring up those difficult conversations. You know, it says like you find that they friends smoking weed. They might be smoking weed. So what you doing? Also, you smoking right. That? What? You know, whatever it is. Are you ready to do the do? You sure? So whatever. That's when you have those conversations, when, you know, just in a light situation, talk about it. If it's challenging, write a letter. You can write me a letter. Then you revisit the topic. So that's my suggestion.
Wow. So kind of set the atmosphere. Just to set the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yes, Dr. Johnson.
And write a letter.
Set the atmosphere. That's the appropriate. I just mumble her all the time.
That's how I took it. That's what I got.
But yes,
which I think is phenomenal. I think that's great.
That's something that I Shannon, that is awesome because spending time with them and, you know, I call it, you know, make it a safe space, letting them know whatever you say, it is safe. You are safe. It is okay. Tell me, you know, you can be honest. Writing a letter is also, you know, like you said, Shannon, you know, hey, write me a letter. You know, they write it. They probably say things that they probably wouldn't even know how to say out of their mouths. They wouldn't even know how to articulate it. But I, too, encourage our children to, you know, hey, write me a letter. And if you're not ready to talk about it, write me a letter, you know, and, you know, put it in my room, slide it under my door, whatever. But definitely making it safe, you know, hey, you want to ask your kid, like, you know, are you gay? You know, that's hard. Yeah, that's hard. Like, do you like girls? Because, you know, you hadn't talked about boys, so do you like, you know, like, it's hard to come out of your mouth and look your child in the face and to ask that. Like the question was, you know, like, how do we ask and continue to ask? Let them know it's safe with me. I will love you. You know, said it, I will always love you. Nothing you tell me about this thing will change how I feel about you. You are not a disappointment to me. Yes, I get disappointed in you. You know, that's just real. But you're not a disappointment to me. I will always love you. I won't treat you any differently. These are things that they are fearful of. My parents aren't going to love me or they're going to see me differently or, you know, I'm not living up to a certain expectation. This is making it a safe space. So, hey, are you gay? Hey, you know, your friend came up here, they were smoking weed. Are you smoking weed too? You know, like Shannon said, are you smoking too? You know, is that what y'all do when y'all go out? It is hard, but making it safe. I want you to know that I don't care. In other words, not I don't care, but you know what I'm saying? Hey, if you can tell me. I'm, you know, so my example is our daughter who is 20. who, you know, she's pregnant. She's four, five, anyway, she's pregnant. And so that was really, I remember when I found out at first, so she ended up telling me, but I knew beforehand. And I remember feeling like my body had left my body. Okay. Would always tell her, look, if you feel like you're ready to have sex, come talk to me. In other words, there was nothing off limits, you know, to talk about in this house. There are expectations, but there are no limits on what you can come and talk to me about, me and your dad. And so I was thinking she was, you know, having sex with this boy. This is her first real deal boyfriend or whatever. And so I figured it, but I was like, you know, I was like, you staying clean for Jesus? You know, I'd make it a joke. So, you know, excuse me. You know, just trying to explain a bit. I'd be like, you staying clean for Jesus? Are you staying clean for Jesus? And she'd be like, Mom, oh, my gosh, yes. And me being open like that, it reminds them, number one, my mom, you know, I can go to my mom about this. And another thing is my mom is not ignorant to what could be going on. I remember growing up thinking because my dad didn't talk to me about sex. He don't know I'm having sex. He don't know nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it shows them, like, my mom ain't ignorant of this. Like, look, you know, like my mom and dad, they know, you know, what's going on out here. And so when my daughter came to us, well, when she came to me, dad was in Arizona on business. And so when she came to me, she was crying, and she didn't just come to me. You know, let me be clear. I asked her to come into my room, and I said, let's talk. And so she was like, okay. And I said, you know, I love you. Me and dad love you so much. And there's nothing that you can do in your whole entire life that would cause us to stop loving you, you know. And I continued to just pour into her about how much we love her and how we're proud of her. You know, even it, with her mistakes and our mistakes, God is still proud of us. And so I did that for, you know, about a minute or two, and tears came to her eyes. She started crying, you know, not like a boo-hoo, but she just was like kind of crying and like, yes, Mom, thank you, Mom. I know, Mom, thank you, Mom. And so and when I said that, she came out and said, I'm pregnant and I'm sorry. That, I don't know how it would have went if I would have been like, come in here, are you pregnant? You know, maybe that would have worked. That might, you know, might work with another child, but you have to know your child. You have to know, it's not a one size fits all with your children. You have to know how to go to that child. And I would do that with all of my children. I would set the safe space for them, with them. But there's a way you must go to each child. It's not one size fits all. It's hard. You know, Shannon got four kids. I got four kids. Ken and Quasi, y'all got four kids. It's hard because all of them pulling. And all of them got two different personalities. You don't know what you're going to get some days. Okay, it's like eight kids instead of four. Okay? So, I mean, it's already on another level. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what you're going to get some days. Like, you know, how they're going to be acting. But when she came to me and she said, after I said those things, she said, Mom, I'm pregnant and I'm sorry. And the first thing I did was grab her and hold her and let her cry. And I told her, you are not a disappointment to us. And continued just to talk to her and really just let her cry. Because, you know, although I had a million things I wanted to say to her, at that moment, I was quiet. Sometimes listening and not saying anything is what they need as well. So when they come, it's like, hey, I need to ask this kid a question. I need to ask this child a question. And even if, like, the first time they may lie, like, no, Mom, I ain't pregnant. No, nope. You know, you want to ask them later, you know, like, how, you know what, did you, you know, you all right? You know, you seem kind of whatever today, you know, you know. You keep asking, but you make it a safe place because my daughter was going to try and hide it, but I was already thinking she might be pregnant, and my husband. We were both thinking the same thing, and we didn't even know. I didn't know my husband was thinking she was pregnant, and he didn't know I was thinking it. But sure enough, she came to us, but she felt safe enough. She felt safe enough to say, I'm pregnant. What young teenage girl, well, she's 19, but what young lady who's still in the house with her parents, at 20 wants to say that. You know, she's not married. You know what I'm saying? And knowing how you've raised, how we've raised her, how does she, how, what, I was asking God, I said, I got to ask her, now how do I do this? And so when she finally did, what the only thing I had for my baby was love and grace, and all that I had, all the grace and love that I had for her, and wrapped her up in it and just let her boohoo it out. And then, you know, it was time for Dad to call from Arizona, and she had to tell him over the phone. And I was going to try and prep him, but I was like, no, I just got to let this happen, because I look lazy. I tell you something, okay? Like, you know, sit down somewhere, you know, don't be at work, you know. I didn't know I was fine. But the first thing my husband said to her was, I love you. I love you. She felt safe enough to come talk to us. But sometimes, I don't know, maybe you have to make it even safer, because it's big stuff they want to come talk to you about. And if they are afraid of your reaction, if they are afraid, like, oh, my mom going to flip, my dad going to snap on me, if they're afraid of it, they are not going to say anything. They're going to talk to their best friends, or maybe their best friend's mama, about it. You want them to feel safe enough to say, you know what, I don't care if you tell me that you know, this is what you done did before, you can talk to me. Like Shannon said, it was like calming down, like just take a little chill, you know, and then make it a safe space for them to be able to come to you at all times. My 25, he almost 25, he's the same way. Mom, I need to talk to you. You know, hey, son, I love you. With the lifestyle, no. Just like a little lazy, your lifestyle, you're out here, you know, you sleeping with this boy, you ain't married, da-da-da. No, I don't like that, no. I've been there, but, you know, I don't like it. But I still want them to feel safe enough to come. We're the first place they should be able to come. You know, and if not, I've always prayed, God, please put someone in my child's life where they feel safe enough to tell somebody if they're going through something and they feel like they can't come to me. It ain't just on us. I need a village to help us with this. And hopefully would come to me and say, hey, look, Kyrez is dealing with this. Alasia is dealing with this. Okay, I'm done.
That's good. I'm very big on safe places. I mean, everything that you ladies are saying tonight is wonderful. And and yes, this is good for teenagers and young adults, because we do that. We're very blunt in our house. Very. And I didn't realize until like last week, our kids are like that too.
They have a choice. Lord, for real.
What'd you say, Kyra?
Oh, nothing. I just said they didn't have a choice. Because the way you and Kenny are, yeah. Yeah, they blunt. Yes, they are.
And I really didn't realize at the time I was having a conversation with Jeremiah. And I'm like, Jeremiah, you can't talk to every, you know, just trying to explain to them about sometimes you just have to soften some things up. And he's like, well, I don't see anything wrong with them, of course, because this is how we raised you. But, you know, sometimes say stuff like that. So you said the same thing, but differently. But my point of that was, so for us, it's very easy for us to go by and just, you know, because Kenny is quick to ask Jeremiah, you know, something about you, you know, you have sex?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just be enough fixing our plates or something. No, Dad, or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so used to it. So, but, you know, But I'm very big on, well, we're very big on that, you know, just making sure your kids have a safe place, and do know that, you know, they are loved. And I love, you know, what you were saying, Kyra, make sure they know they are not disappointments, even though we do get disappointed in their choices.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's even important to let them know that, because I think sometimes this generation thinks that you're not supposed to say, well, I'm disappointed in you for doing that.
Right.
I'm not sure why. You know, it's like, no, I'm disappointed in you. Yeah. I mean, it's true. I get disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed in you because of that choice. But let me explain to you why. Because I know that you can make better choices or whatever. But regardless of that, I still love you. My love for you hasn't changed. I'm not disappointed in you as a person. I'm just disappointed in that choice. You know. So I think it's important for them to know that, and it kind of leads into this next question that I have that you guys have already really answered, but I'm going to ask it to see if you want to add anything onto it. So how do we support them when their choices go completely against how they have been raised? You know, the total opposite, some of their choices, of course, I'm talking about, you know, specific choices. You know, it's like total opposite of how you've been raised. How do we support them in that? And I guess also, how do we not take it personal?
Like how Kyra was saying, which I think she did a great job in just, you know, sharing that experience with her and her daughter, but with love. Just loving the mess out of them, literally. Because when you love them, when you correct them with love, many times they'll change depending on what it is. Some stuff, you know, you can't change. It is what it is. But they'll begin to think about that. Well, you know what? Maybe mama was right with that. So I would definitely say with love and then being honest, just like how you were saying, Quadrant, if it's something that they've done or choosing to do that's disappointing because you know how you raise your children, let them know that I'm disappointed in that. I'm not feeling that. But I understand. I understand why you're doing what you're doing. Even if you don't understand, you know what? Right. That's your choice. That's a choice that you're making. Do I agree with it? No. But it could be something that you do understand. Yeah, I've been there. This is something that I went through or whatever the case. But still stress how much you love them. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing with our children. And for me, I don't really like to say that we've made mistakes. I always say, even in my life, it's experiences. This is an experience that I went through. Because if all things work together, it's not a mistake. It's something purposeful in that whatever it is, in that experience. So even though the action may be disappointing, I don't really like to stress like, okay, like a mistake is something like, well, yeah, I failed. No, you didn't. But this is something we're going to get through. So I stress loving them and making sure that they understand and, you know, that they feel it. Because sometimes, you know, you can tell them you love them, but they ain't feeling it, you know.
Right.
They have to feel that thing. And we do it with our actions and how we respond. And even when we do go through those hard, you know, situations with our children, those disappointing experiences, look, just like Quadrant said, don't blame yourself. Because now I went through that a lot of some of the things that my children experience. I blame me, you know, I blame myself. Like, oh, I could have did this different. You know, if I would have did this, you know, nah. I mean, and it maybe, but maybe not, you know. And so don't beat yourself up. Now, sometimes we do have to learn things different because, again, with having different children, they all different. So you got to bend differently for each one. So you can't respond the same way with each child. So you may have to learn some things, you know, differently, but don't beat yourself up. You know, just like how God give us grace, give yourself grace. Forgive yourself for whatever and do things different.
Man.
And that's my comment on that.
And that's really good. And I love everything you said. And but I do want to just stress that again for anybody listening.
forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Because we are not perfect people. We're going to, okay, Shannon says she don't believe we make mistakes. We're going to, there are going to be times we're not going to do it right.
Right.
So, you know, forgive yourself. If you can forgive other people for their transgressions, mm-hmm. then you should be able to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
So very big on that. Kyra, do you have anything on that one?
Shannon really hit the nail on the head, you know, like when they're making decisions that do not line up, you know, with how we've raised them, it's hard seeing the total opposite of what, you know, you how you raise them. And then, you know, even with that being said, it's like God reminded me, like, look, you know, you were, you know, at a place, and sometimes you're at a place where you're not doing what I'm asking you to do, or, you know the right way, but you may not be choosing to do it. That kind of keeps me in the headspace of, like, really giving them grace, you know, because as we're watching them, sometimes it's like a train wreck. Like, it's like, I know they're making this decision. I already know how this is going to end up. This is not going to end well. And indeed, it didn't end well. You know what I'm saying? It didn't end the way they thought it would. But my prayer is that they learned from that. There have been some things where they did learn, like they're living, you know, and they're not living, you know, it's not so much about the way we raise them. Just, you know, some things is like, okay, why are you doing that? That's just wrong, period. You know, and some stuff, they think they are right. They think this is the best thing for me. I'm supposed to be doing this. This is my life. This is what I loved. And it's like, you know what? That's not healthy. It's not okay. It's not what God would have you to do. And let's find out what the root is. And so one thing for parents to do is pray. If you see some behavior, you see some things going on that are not lining up with the Word of God. I know this is a Christian blog talk, so I know I can say that. If it's not lining up with the Word of God, it's not lining up with the way, you know, that God is saying according to His Word, because as Christians, we filter everything through the Word of God, and we don't get it right, but that's what we do. We use the Word of God. We filter it through there, you know, see what catches and what, you know, what is not God. It's not always easy, but my suggestion is, I have a journal, and it's just for my kids. Me declaring, proclaiming, at whatever you want to call it, things that we are believing for our children. So one thing I've said is, you will marry the person God has created for you. That's what I have at the top of one of the pages. And then I have a prayer for each child, okay? You know, and then the next page may be, you will return back to God like the prodigal son. You know, it don't have to be as poetic, you know what I'm saying? But you return back to God.
Well, you are a writer, ma'am.
Away. I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, it don't have to be all that. But it is me putting on paper, this is what I'm believing for you. Should you leave your faith, you return back like the prodigal son. And then I say, I have Karez, Alasia, Cedric, and Ayani. And there's a scripture with them. You know, I have a book that helps me with that, How to Pray for Your Adult. And I'm going to tell you who writes it, because I have actually, okay, so I'm probably getting ready to. Okay, so one book is called Praying the Scriptures for Your Teens. And this is by Jody Burn. And maybe I can. Anyway, the last name is Berndt. I use this book for my journal because I see when my kids, you know, this for my teens. There's another one for Praying the Scriptures for Your Adult Children as well, by the same person, last name Berndt. And I use this book, so when I write Karez's name down, when it comes to marriage, I go through and find something, because this thing talks about everything, okay? You know, friends,
you know, when they're driving, you know, when they first get their license. This, I mean, it's a lot of things in here that you can go in and find a scripture to pray for your child. When they stray away, the only thing I know to do is to pray and proclaim. I got to say the word of God over this thing because I don't know how to do this. Some things only God can do. Only God. So I'm going to pray, but I was like, God, I'm going to pray, and then you got to do the rest of this. You know, you got to help and do the rest of this. There's, like I said, the other book is Praying the Scriptures for Your Adult Children. This talks about marriage, their financial situation, if should they go through divorce, should their spouse end up being sick. I mean, amazing. But I use this, and I don't write in this every day at all, but when I do feel that thing or this tug, whatever, I'll go in that journal and I'll just put Kairos, and then I'll write the scripture. I go through the book. If he's going through, you know, some relationship issue, I'll find the scriptures that talks about, you know, and it has a prayer. It has a prayer. You just fill in your child's name. I just write it down in the journal. We don't know the direction our children are going to go in. We know what we hope. We know what we hope. So don't let, if they veer off of that path or your expectation, just trust that God is in control. God knows how to get us back on track. You know, don't lose hope. It looks real crazy. It looks really jacked up sometimes when they're adults and it's like, man, I can't believe this is how they're living. I can't believe this is their. God knows how to get them back on track like he knows how to get us on track. So don't lose hope when they're not living this life or when they're not following, you know, the right path. And it's like, God, I don't want nothing to happen to my kids while they're out here like this, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, God, I want them, you know, cover them. You know, I want them to have long life. You know, keep them safe while they're out here making these decisions. You know, I don't want them to get sick or get a disease or get hurt, you know, while they're out here, you know, living this life. But God knows how to get our children. He knows how to draw us to him. And if he can draw us, he can draw them. That's part of letting go. And it doesn't mean just letting them go. It means really giving them back to God. God, they're in your hands. I don't even know what to say. You know, our situation with our oldest son, that's how it was. He was in a relationship. We met the young man. You know, we loved him. We showed love. And while we were showing love, I was like, in the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Break this up, God. Whatever you got to do. You know, I wasn't, it was like God, and God did in less than a year. Broke that relationship up, and now my son is kind of in this in-between place, you know what I'm saying, to show that love. Because had I went in real judgy and real whatever, I ain't accepted, whatever. My son knew we didn't accept it, and sometimes we had to say, look, I love you. I don't love the lifestyle, period. You'll never be able to convince me to be okay with this lifestyle. He didn't like that because the world says everyone should agree. And everyone should agree with them. And everyone should take this. I love you, but I don't love the lifestyle. Just keep having hope. Keep hold up. Don't let go of that hope because God knows how to reach our children. He knows how to reach them. And it was never, ever meant for us to be able to reach them in every area about everything. That would make us God. That was not our mission is to love them, support them, discipline them, you know, correct them, keep loving on them, and give the rest to God. And as parents, to wean ourselves, we have to wean them off the breast, wean them off the bottle. We also have to be weaned off of control, you know. And
that's
we have to be weaned as well. Yeah, we have to be weaned as well. We do as well. So I'm done. And said too much, but I'm done.
Nope.
I just want to add real quick to what Kyra was saying. Just and that's good because I believe I definitely pray for my children. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My closet prayer. I love my closet. I spend hours in my closet sometimes.
Mm.
And I have notes on my wall, but I like to have a dedicated journal because I like to journal as well because I write. But yes, definitely having a dedicated journal for my children, I think that is just great. But I just wanted to just add, you know, along with the prayers, trust God with your children. That's the thing. We be tripping sometimes. You know, and I'm guilty of it too. Catch the breath in the dark. I'm looking out the window, you know, half asleep, you know, all this empty stuff. Like, Lord, but trust God with your child. He gave them to you anyway. Yeah. Trust him with them. Just how with you. Because many of us, we got stories, honey. Saved and all, we still got stories. I know I do.
Come on.
And made my crooked path straight. He gonna do that for my children, and I am believing
that.
And he said he went before us. He did. He straightened it out. Cause I know I took my mama through some stuff, honey.
Mm-hmm.
She was surprised with this one. I know she was like, "Oh Lord, I don't know what to do with Shannon." But you pray, and you have to trust God. Trust God with your children. Trust
him,
he
got it. Trust him,
he, when he say, "I'm always with you," he always with
you. Amen.
So, I just wanted to just add that, and I'm done.
Amen, Shannon. Amen, sis.
Really good. Everything you ladies said has been great, and I'm just going to say this. One thing that I pray is, you know, for God, for my children, our children, to be who God has created them to be, not who I want them to be, not who Kenny wants them to be, but, you know, not little mini me's, not little mini Kenny's, you know, but who God has created them to be.
Yes.
And for them to love who God has created them to be, for them to one day understand and know who God has created them to be, each individual child. And I ask God to help us to cultivate what he has put on the inside of Jeremiah, what he's put on the inside of Jared, what he's put on the inside of Mariah, what he's put on the inside of Joel, you know, and who he has created them to be, because I know that each and every one of them have a purpose. They have a purpose that is ordained by God, something that he has ordained them for. And I don't know the fullness of that.
Right.
I'm sure Kenny doesn't know the fullness of that. Only God knows the fullness of that. And sometimes they have to go through these things, you know, like you were saying before, Shannon, you know, because it's purpose and experience in it. Sometimes they have to go through these, you know, these milestones, these choices that we wish they wouldn't choose, you know, make these choices. But sometimes, a lot of times, it is tied to their purpose. It's tied to their destiny.
Right.
It's tied to, you know, what they're going to do 10 years down the line. And, you know, so I just want to say that. But, again, it goes back to, like you said, Shannon, trusting God with them. That's obviously, y'all know that's already one of my things. I have some serious anxiety when it comes to my kids because of the things that I've been through. But just trusting God with them, and reminding myself that they are, he is, and they're on loan to me.
Yeah,
he and Kenny, he, you know, but ultimately, they are his. So. That's really good. And we could go on and on. I'm going to ask this one last question because it is almost 9:30 and we could go on because I have other questions, but I'm going to ask this one. For people that may be listening, so I'm going to ask this to you, Kyra. Shannon, I don't think I received anything else from you, so I'm going to leave this open for you. Your son lost his father, his biological father, some years ago. How, a child. I mean, you know, he was a minor at the time, and now he's an adult. And, of course, that's still something you don't get over. You don't get over that. Mm-hmm. How can you support, how do you support him after such a tragic and traumatic loss?
We made sure, and at first I don't know if he really knew, because his dad and I, Kari's biological dad and I, we broke up. I mean, he was 2 or something like that. He was like 2 years old, but his dad passed away. I think Kari's was like 8 or 9. Okay, so, you know, he didn't see me and his biological dad. And then we moved away, you know, the Army, I got married, and, you know, we moved away. So he really didn't see his dad and I really interact with each other, other than when, you know, I was dropping Kyrie's off at his house when we did come back to North Carolina for holidays. So one thing is I had to tell Kyrie it was okay if he talked about his dad around us and his, you know, and said, you know, my husband, it was okay if he talked about him. Because I think he felt like, I don't know if I can talk about him because, you know, my dad, you know, talking about my husband, you know, we don't say stepdad, but you know, because, you know, my dad, I don't want my dad to get mad. You know, I didn't know he was feeling like that. You know, I don't want to bring up, you know, my biological dad, because I don't know if my other dad gonna be mad, or, you know, and we never gave him a reason to think that, but you never know how kids are thinking, people, really. And so it was like he was trying to protect, you know, Sid, and then by not talking about his biological dad, whose name was Cortez. And so one thing is I really had to talk to him, like, it's okay if you talk about Cortez around us. Another thing is, acknowledging, you know, his dad's birthday in July, okay? So it's not just another day. That is Kyrez's father's birthday. So, hey, son, you doing anything special for your dad's birthday? Being very open, being very, just being very supportive. If he doesn't want to do anything, you know, like release balloons or, you know, I would encourage him, write a note to your dad, you know, especially when there are milestones, you know, going to the prom, you know what I'm saying, going to college. I told him very early that he was going to miss his dad probably the most at those special times in his life, you know, getting married, going to the prom, going to college, first job, you know, whatever, and to write letters to his to Cortez. I did attempt to get him counseling in Missouri. That ended up being, that was really strange. Anyway, I'm saying strange because the lady just, I don't know. I don't know what was going on with that. But anyway, counseling is big. Also group, you know, like group counseling or the group sessions. A lot of churches in your town, in your county, you can find where there are a lot of churches who actually have these types of grief groups, or I don't know what the name of, but when you're grieving. And, you know, you can go there if you're grieving, you know, the passing of someone, especially during the holidays. Kyrez's father passed away the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving is pretty rough here. But I have tried to make it not like the most joyous, you know, time of year, but definitely we keep tradition here, some type of consistency here during that time of year, because, you know, it's rough for Kyrez. The day he was having a bad day, I didn't know it. You know, I didn't know it. But it's because he's going through some transition in his, you know, own life. But the main thing is supporting them, like, hey, here's a group. You can go talk to other people, other teenagers. You know, he was a teen. Hey, here's some other teenagers who know what you're going through. You know, letting him know he's not alone, letting him know that he can talk about his father if he wants to. And
honestly, I wish we probably, I wish we would have pushed the counseling more, you know, and I, that's just me being very transparent. I just wish we would have, like, tried it again, tried it again at another place after we were stationed, you know, in Missouri. But now he has, you know, he has a counselor. You know what I'm saying? He still talks to his counselor and things like that. But the time of year, birthdays and things like that, just acknowledging it and not even bringing up like, hey, it's your day to birthday. You know, what you doing? You know, not like that, but just kind of going to him because it's a sensitive subject. Sometimes Kyrie is okay. Thanksgiving, sometimes he's pretty chill. He's okay. And then the next year, you know, almost no good, you know, because he's reminded. So it doesn't stop. He's about to be 25, and that his dad passed when he was like 8 or 9, and he still goes through this. I wish my dad was here for this, or I wish my, you know, and not taken away from, you know, my husband, who has been here in his life since Kyrie was 3. But acknowledging that, you know, his dad is really big, and it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of prayer and being open with them.
Oh, add quickly add to that. My daughter Imani, her dad recently passed. We just made a year in June, that was hard. It was hard. It was very hard, and it still is. She's much, much, much better, but to support them in it, sometimes just being that listening, that just being there just to hear them out, because a lot of times we don't know what to say in those situations. Just being there for them to cry any time of the night, morning, all of that. With her, he passed, and then she went back to school because it was right after COVID. And I just had a feeling that it wasn't time for her to go back to school, but she wanted to anyway. So I agreed, and things just started happening. You know, one, I knew she was depressed. Then she got into a car accident, and I'm like, we about to counseling again, because I am an advocate for counseling, because at the end of the day, they need somebody to share the pain with, and mama, daddy, we can do it, you know, and that's what I would encourage Imani to share your pain with your therapist, with your friends, because I did notice with her, she would, you know, isolate herself, she would try to start, you know, she would begin to isolate. And I'm just like, talk to your friends. You know, of course, acknowledge your dad. I suggested the same thing. Write him a letter. Let him know how you feel. Because she had some other things that, you know, she was challenged with him passing, thinking she had more time, you know, with her dad. Okay, I'm going to make sure I do this. When I get me a car, I'm going to spend time with my dad. And then all of a sudden, he's not here. So she didn't have that. And that's what, you know, with him not being here and then that, it was just really, really, really hard for her. But I encouraged her to share her pain. Like, share it. Be honest with your friends. She has a girlfriend that she's really close with. And she just would tell them, you know, I'm sad. And then they'll hook up and talk or go out to eat or whatever the case. But counseling, I did it all. Kind of talk to somebody else. If you need to talk to one of my friends, your grandma, whoever, reach out to people. Because it's not just, you know, one solution with that. Nope. It's a very difficult. And with her, it is still kind of fresh. With her, she's better. She's much better. I'm grateful because she was losing weight. It was hard. Yes. The counseling, you know, trusting people to share that pain with, still acknowledging, you know, your dad and, you know, all of that. And, of course, prayer and, you know, which we all going to do that. but, you know, the natural things that we have to do still. So,
yeah,
encourage her to share her pain and still acknowledge him and talk. Just don't clam up. Like, when you start, if you start saying, that is not healthy at all.
Yes, Shannon. Yes.
So true.
Thank you, ladies. That's big. Talking.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I'm big on therapy as well. Also, friends, because I know my friends have been, you know, therapists for me. And, you know, Kyra, this jar, I'm going to read to you this, what I pulled out my jar today. So, y'all, Kyra sent me a jar of smiles.
Love
and friendship. And so the one I pulled out today says, a good friend is cheaper than therapy.
That's what I pulled out today.
I love it. Yes, it is. No copay. Although I don't try to send no copay.
I agree with that.
Right.
Because everybody that knows me knows that in my mind, I am a therapist. But anyway, but yeah, I am not a licensed therapist. That's just in my mind. Not yet, anyway. So, but yes, talking to someone and definitely, you know, honoring, celebrating their life is big. When I did go to grief therapy when the girls first died, that was one thing the therapist told me, to do something to celebrate their lives. And that's where the balloon release came from. And it helps. It does. Definitely big on that. Well, ladies, it has been awesome. I'm glad I set the call for 2 hours tonight. Because I knew we would be talking. So
you know your friend.
Right, it wouldn't cut off. This has been awesome. I'm going to go ahead. We do have a couple of callers on the line. I'm not going to call anyone out. I'm just going to open their lines just in case they have any questions. If you don't want to say anything, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I did open. Somebody just dropped, so somebody doesn't want to talk. But your line is open. Is there anyone that has a question? Okay, and that's fine. So I want to thank you ladies on tonight. This has been just been wonderful. And I knew it would be. Thank you all for being so transparent and so honest and, you know, sharing your personal stories with us. And I know that this is going to help some people that go back and listen. Mm-hmm. And just thank you all for being willing to come on and share, you know, just share with us. Share with us. This has been great. And I do want to give this one scripture to anyone that's listening, because I know so much is going on right now. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. But just to keep in mind, Psalms 34:18, and this is the NIV version. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So just know that if you are brokenhearted at this time and crushed in spirit, if you're hurting and going through things, the Lord is close to you. Like Shannon said, he is there. He has not left you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is there. And there are just some things that we can only get from going to God. And so I just wanted to put that out there and say that again. Ladies, we thank you all for joining us. Thank you for our listeners for listening on tonight. For anyone that goes back and listens to the replay, we thank you for supporting us, and we just thank you for thank you everybody for being who you are. So this is Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein, where we discuss family matters because family matters. You all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I'll see you later.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.